Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One a Day, where we talk about some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is April 17th, reading Acts chapter 17. Let's get to it. Know your audience. That's essential for any author or speaker, or especially, as it turns out, evangelist. As any missionary could tell, part of the secret of success is sharing the gospel is to be able to say it in the other person's language. And I don't just mean the sounds they make, but the cultural heart language of a person. This chapter, chapter 17 of Acts, includes a couple of cultural adaptations that make a good study for us in this regard. Paul shares a brief account of Jesus with a Jewish audience, and then later in the chapter he does the same with a Greek audience of philosophers. What we find is his approach is quite different for each group. In a city where he could speak with an exclusively Jewish audience, Paul's message is summarized like this. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. All right, so that's what the passage says. Note these details. He starts in the synagogue. He waits until the Sabbath. He reasons with them from the Scriptures, which is the Old Testament, of course. He was convincing them about the Messiah, in particular his suffering and resurrection, and he concludes by saying that Jesus is the Messiah. All five of those talking points indicate that Paul is addressing a group of listeners who are Jewish. I probably don't need to explain it further, but let me know if you're not making the connection. So then later in the chapter, Paul's speaking with Athenian philosophers. Now to be sure, these men are coming from a very different place with their logic. They aren't in the synagogue. They don't observe the Sabbath either. Sharing scriptures would not be a wise starting point with a group that has no knowledge of the Old Testament. And they certainly are not looking for the Messiah. So all of his talking points that he used with the Jews need to go in an opposite direction as they went in the synagogue. And now we find Paul at the Areopagus, atop a hill just outside the city of Athens, talking with Stoic and Epicurean philosophers. Here's how Paul shares with them. He starts in the marketplace to begin with, not the synagogue, and he speaks day by day rather than waiting for the Sabbath. And he still spoke about Jesus and the resurrection, but some of the philosophers then, once they heard about the resurrection, took Paul to the meeting of the Areopagus atop a hill where philosophers of all stripes were practicing their logic and listening skills. And he begins his message, "I see that in every way you are very religious." Ah. Their religion may have been quite varied from one another, but Paul is finding a common ground for all of them. "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' This is what I'm going to proclaim to you." Wow. Rather than proving that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, he presents Jesus as the unknown God. Well, now Paul must give some background information because not everyone there acknowledges a single all-powerful God. So he can't start with the Athenians, the same place he started with the Jews in the synagogue. So he has to give some background. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands." He goes on with some basic background information about who God is and what he has done. Such background information wouldn't be needed with a Jewish audience, of course. But now Paul begins to swing it around toward Jesus. He says, "God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us." Then Paul does something that's even more impressive. He's so culturally aware that he supports his message by quoting a secular philosopher. He says, "As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Oh, what a great bridge to build, crossing over to their side so they can follow him back again. Soon, Paul's message calls for repentance. Sooner or later, that's going to happen, right? But it's not repenting of having put the Messiah to death on a cross, like we've heard him say so many times, but repenting of the ignorance of making idols and worshiping them. When Paul then introduces Jesus into the flow of his talk, he says it this way, "He will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." So Jesus is the man who is appointed by this just judge. He's approved rather than an anointed prophet. And sure enough, Paul finishes with talk of the resurrection. But when speaking to these philosophers, he says that the resurrection is proof of his being judge of all the earth. "He has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Wow. May you and I know how to share Jesus with each person we meet, speaking in their heart language, starting with their cultural view. Amen.